From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Leading up to the first anniversary of the powerful and historic Women's March that took place around Donald Trump's presidential inauguration, a major pop-up event is taking place in Los Angeles leading up to the next Women's March this Saturday. The 10-day event called Into Action has partnered with a number of local and national progressive organizations, including media outlets like Free Speech TV. And today, as part of our ongoing coverage of Into Action, we present a conversation with two of the panelists. Speaking on a panel entitled The ROI of Diversity, How Diverse Voices Can Reshape Beliefs, were two women with the media outlet MeToo. Founded 5 years ago, MeToo is the largest Latino digital media network in the country. And I spoke with the president and co-founder, Beatriz Acevedo, and its vice president of public affairs, Lucy Flores, right after their panel at Interaction.
So Lucy Flores, let me start with you. You were an assemblywoman from Nevada. Now you're in a media organization. What brought you to this media organization? And tell us a little bit about MeToo. Is that how it's pronounced?
Yes, it is called MeToo.
But
it's spelled M-I-T-U, so in Spanish, MeToo. And it's a digital-first media company that produces mainstream media from a Latino perspective. And it's incredible. And really, for me, it was almost a very seamless transition because I, of course, was in politics and had been elected and served in office in Nevada, and moving into this role now to really lead the advocacy efforts, the content efforts around social impact and political content was really a very natural fit, because this organization, I'm very lucky in that you're going to talk to the co-founder and president here in just a few minutes, but has a very, very deep commitment to advocating on behalf of a community that has been largely underrepresented in all aspects of American life, and certainly in front of the camera and behind the camera. So being here has been just a really incredible opportunity for me in many ways to continue my service.
Beatriz Acevedo, you are the co-founder of MeToo, and both of you were just on a panel at Into Action called The ROI of Diversity. What does that mean, and how does your organization try to fill this hole that exists in our media and representation?
Yeah, so ROI is a word that I learned while I worked at MeToo, as I do not come from the financial world. But, you know, whenever you're raising money, it's just a very typical term where they are asking you what's the return on the investment anybody's making. And, you know, we'd love to use it in a context that it's not just financial, although at the end it all ties to financial. But, you know, we always talk about the ROI of diversity. And for Lucy and for myself and for many other Latinos, we don't want to be charity of anybody, right? We don't want to be, oh, these people who are underserved, underrepresented, you know, let's give them a little charity because it's the right thing to do.
You don't want to be the token.
We don't, because thank you for the charity, but you know, these people need us and our community and our numbers and our purchasing power more than we need the charity. So we always like to sort of turn it around and say the cost of how much money you're potentially losing for not targeting us, for not paying attention to us, it's much higher than you can even imagine, right? So
because network executives listen to money.
Right. But that's the same narrative with anybody who is an underserved and underrepresented community that can really drive growth. So, for example, it's still baffling to me when people say, oh, well, we're going to give women an opportunity. Like, whoa, why would you give us an opportunity? Like, we are a thriving part of this country and the world, right? So I think for people to change their chip and their mindset on, oh, we're going to help the Latinos, the African American, the women, the LGBTQ people, because it's the right thing to do. And let's just be super practical and cold and be like, no, this is good for your business, right? So we always want to remind them that thank you for doing the right thing. But in order for them to really fully commit into representing our communities, they need to think about it as a great return on their investment. So ROI is a term that we use all the time, where we like to say, like, Latinos are one of the best ROIs that you can have, because when you talk and people think, oh, maybe it's Bitcoins, oh, maybe it's marijuana stock, oh, maybe it is India, oh, maybe, you know, everything that people have on their mind, that's fine. But when you look at the growth about everything else that people perceive as the best investment, and you take a look at all the things that our community is driving in this country, you don't need to look outside of the country for a great return on your money. You just need to look in your own backyard, and it's called Latinos, right? And everything that we do that will make all these companies money, or it will make them go out of business in the future if they don't pay attention today to our community.
Lucy, Latinos, as Beatrice was saying, are very diverse, or as you were saying, a very diverse community. Racially diverse, ethnically, nationally diverse. What are unifying values that tie the community together that you shine a light on in a way that non-Latinos don't?
Sure. I think unifying values are very family-based, very culture-based, very community-based. At the end of the day, we actually are very proud that we're uplifting even the underrepresented within our underrepresented community, right? We're talking about Afro-Latinos. We're talking about Muslim Latinos. We're talking about, these communities in the Latino community who you might even consider to be triple or quadruple minorities, right, based on their backgrounds. And so, you know, for us, the Latino culture does have things that unify us. And oftentimes that is our family structures, our community structures. Sometimes it's foods, sometimes it's language, but not always, because there are definitely Latinos who don't speak Spanish or who speak Portuguese or who speak, you know, some other dialect, or who don't speak Spanish at all, right? And they're just English, English or indigenous, absolutely. So it's just so much, but I think that
immigration, is that also a huge issue?
Yeah, it is, but the thing is that what's really wonderful about it, like all communities in this country, whether it's Black, Muslim, Native American, you name it, right? Whatever it is, what's beautiful and what we celebrate is that diversity is a strength, right? That diversity isn't meant, and acknowledging those differences amongst us isn't meant to highlight how different it is, but it's meant to highlight how unique we can be and still collectively come together as a one unified community. And I think that that's really what we try to do in terms of how we approach the media that we produce to represent the Latino community and Latino voices. And certainly immigration is a big part of it, but immigration is not limited to Latinos, right? Right. Immigration, most people don't recognize that the largest the most popular way in which people become undocumented in this country is by overstaying their visas. It's not by crawling through some border, right? Or you know, coming across, coming over on a boat or whatever it is that people think, right? Because of this narrative that has taken hold. It's people who literally came here from countries all over the world who overstayed their visas. So it's that kind of narrative, and it's that kind of information stories that we really put an emphasis on telling.
So who tells the stories really matters, especially in this day and age and this political moment we're living in because of the administration that's in power. How important is representation in media at this particular political moment when we are in the middle of what seems to be an information war, even a debate about what is reality sometimes, what's real, what's not real, what's fake news, what's not fake. There shouldn't be a debate about it, but there is.
No, it's critical. I mean, obviously representation matters, and telling authentic, real stories matters as well. Unfortunately, we don't control those media outlets as communities of color. So as we were saying earlier, I think the best thing that we have, and we're thankful that we have it, is digital media, right? And you don't really need to run a digital media company to have a voice or to have your voice amplified, because anybody can post anything and somebody else could pick it up and say, this is true, I agree. And you can get that amplified, and that's just a way to do it for free. And we've seen a lot of how these communities have come together, especially in the past year, where we're like, no more of this or no more of that, or we're going to be united in something. And digital has really helped us get our message through. So obviously it's very important. And we all need to play a role in doing that. So whether you're one person calling something out, even if you don't have millions of followers, that's okay, you know? But we should definitely all be very active within our communities to try to tell those authentic stories in whichever way possible. We were talking about earlier that it doesn't really need to be, and Lucy brought this point, doesn't need to be within a video or within a written form as a journalist. It could be through art, it could be through music, it could be through poetry, any expression that lets you convey to a group that doesn't really know us who we are authentically, and that they can feel that connection and that empathy, is incredibly valuable. And it's not just the role of somebody who runs a media company, it's the responsibility of all of us to do that.
Yeah. Lucy, you've come into media from politics. Sometimes some people choose the opposite path, or sometimes people keep those realms very separate. As somebody who's come into media from politics, what are some of the things that you bring into your new role in terms of how best to cover politics?
I think for me, the most valuable perspective that I bring to the table is being able to add that community perspective, that perspective of how is what we're talking about actually affecting people in their homes.
Because you represented every part of the political spectrum.
Right. Exactly. And also understanding that oftentimes we talk about these things, and this is why, again, what we do is so important, the way that we tell these stories, we do it in such an abstract, sometimes disconnected way. We have these conversations almost amongst ourselves instead of with communities. And I think that that's a valuable perspective that, frankly, isn't all that present in our mainstream media, if you will, when we're talking about or reporting on or developing storylines, we're not necessarily bringing in, well, what is that person at that dinner table, how is that person relating to what we're talking about? How does that person engage? How can we make that person interested? How do we make sure we include those perspectives as we're developing what we're talking about or what we're producing or whatever? And so I think that that's just something that that isn't just necessary for media. I mean, I don't think that that is something that's limited, that you have to have a political background in order to do this. I just think that you have to be a person who cares and thinks very intentionally about the everyday person and their perspective and how you can better connect with that person.
So your media outlet is a digital outlet. In what ways are we now able to hold the moneyed networks, the mainstream media's feet to the fire by pushing through digital media in ways that we couldn't do before? Because it costs less to run something digitally. You don't have to have the same kind of physical infrastructure necessarily as a New York Times. And you are able to break stories faster. You're able to go where the mainstream media doesn't always go. Do you find in your work with Me Too that you've been able to get to the stories faster and push the big networks to cover them?
Well, our organization is not news-based, but we definitely can be very limber and very quick as far as like when we publish a story or when we call anything out. I think what's very interesting about what we do is that although you do have huge legacy brands like a New York Times or like a CBS or like a CNN, what's really incredible about new digital media brands like ours or many others that exist is that sometimes the audiences that we have in such a short period of time are much greater and larger than other traditional media companies. So that's definitely an advantage that you have. You can reach the world through digitals. There's no wall. There's no, oh, if I subscribe to this, only this amount of people will get it. We have a global media play. So our stories can be anywhere in the world right now, right? Where if you are just a publisher in the US or you're just a channel on cable, or you're limited to a certain demo. For us, no, we can reach anybody, and that's what makes it incredible, but also a big responsibility, right? Like, what do you do with that massive global reach that you have? We have, on a global scale, about 150 million humans that consume our content. And there's not 150 million Latinos, clearly. So we reach a lot more people, and that's what makes us excited, hopeful, and also with that responsibility to tell these stories that hopefully will connect with them and maybe change the way they had a perception about us, of our communities, of or issues that our people are facing, because once they see the other side of anything else that they've been consuming since they were born, they could maybe connect to, like, I could see that point. I could see that different perspective. And for us, that's incredibly valuable.
We're here in Los Angeles, the birthplace of the film industry in the United States. This is also where pop culture often gets created, and there is clearly not nearly enough Latino representation in film and television. Even though, of course, LA is a Latino-dominated city, how important is representation in all forms of media, not just news media?
I mean, it's in every facet of media, there should be diverse perspectives included, whether it's Latino, African-American, whatever it is. There should be diverse perspectives included. Your existence as an American, there's no way for you to exist as an American without having facets of other cultures affect your daily life. And so why would you then be exposed to media, whether it's news, entertainment, or anything else that doesn't also right, that doesn't also reflect that? It just doesn't make any kind of sense. So, you know, it's something that we have to continue working towards, and as Beatriz has mentioned many times, we're very hopeful for, but we're going to keep pushing, that's for sure.
Did you want to comment on that issue as well, on all aspects of media?
Yeah, no.
We had Coco.
Right. Listen, we had Coco, and that was great.
Hey,
but I mean, to really improve, like we said before, you need to start building that pipeline now, right? To make sure that those generations are there, that you are giving those new kids a platform, a voice, empowering them, believing in them, because you blink and you're 10 years, 20 years from today, and hopefully those are the kids green lighting all these movies and all these shows and running the newsrooms and being the CEOs of tech and media companies. And I see it today. I mean, I can spot so many in my office and I'm like, I make a bet on, and primarily it's women, I have to say. And I'm like, on her, and her, right? I mean, not that we don't have fabulous men in our company, but I beam with pride to see what unbelievable team of female leaders we have. Obviously, you saw Lucy in action, and we know her work. But just like her in different areas, there's an army of unbelievable Latina women that, make no mistake, will be running this country in whatever it is that they set their minds into.
So where can people find Me Too online?
We're in every social platform, so we have our own on and operated, so you could go to wearemetoo.com, but we also are on Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram YouTube. And YouTube, so wherever the audience is, we're there.
We'll post links to that. Thank you both so much, Beatriz Acevedo and Lucy Flores. Thank you.
Thanks for
having us.
Beatriz Acevedo is the president and co-founder of Me Too, and Lucy Flores, the vice president of public affairs at the same media network. She's also, of course, the former Nevada State Assemblywoman, speaking with me earlier this week at the Into Action pop-up event in Los Angeles as part of our special coverage from there. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.